Okay, God bless each and every one of you. We're here again for the Financial Literacy Workshop. We're at the home stretch, the last one for the month of April 2021. We have been so blessed by Elder Kenny Bryan and Pastor Addison Hardy. Their presentation on financial literacy has been just great. I have a testimony right now. I'm going to tell you, we started this workshop. We were talking about credit. I testified a little bit, I think it was last week or the week before. I did something that Elder Kenny Bryant said, do. My credit score went up a few points, you know, about 3-4 points. And this Monday, my score went up for like 23 points higher. I'm like, whoa. But good advice, solid advice, professional advice. I want to encourage every one of you who is listening to this financial literacy workshop, please, right where you're at, share this with somebody. Click on that share button if you're on Facebook, if you're on coming on Zoom soon, if you're on the Shield of Faith Broadcasting Network, please share this information with somebody. Vital to your financial stability and very important. And so I don't want to get in the way. It's so much more information. This is the last day for this financial literacy workshop. But again, I present to you Pastor Addison Hardy and Elder Kenny Bryant. Thank you guys so much for all the work you have done. Love you guys. And I'm sure people are going to love you when they see their money growing like never before.
Amen. 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 It's been a pleasure. It's really been a pleasure.
Yes.
Yes. And thank you, Bishop Dixon, for allowing us to share. And as you mentioned, April is designated Financial Literacy Awareness Month. And basically what we're trying to do, Elder Bryant and myself, trying to do is to acquaint you, guide you, suggest to you, motivate you to take care of your money and let your money work for you. There's an expression that I've heard over the years and just has a lingering effect on me. You don't want to be in a position where you outlive your money. And what we want you to do is be prepared for the unexpected. We talked about emergency funds, because for rainy day funds, at some point in time, it's going to rain. But we want you to be prepared. And we already learned that with the pandemic. But we can't let that slow us down. We can move forward. Thank God for Elder Kenneth Bryant, who is a financial fiduciary advisor, who has been helping people across the country, even across the world, internationally. And his wisdom, his knowledge, he's been in the field for several years, helping people to get the right thing so that they can move forward. I'm a CPA in the state of New Jersey. And today we're going to talk a little bit about taxes. And then Elder Bryant, you're going to share a couple of things, long-term debt and a couple of other things. Why don't you share what you're also looking to talk about?
So I just wanted to say, this is the first time that I've had the pleasure of collaborating with you. I've seen you speak and, I think it was a nice fit because your tax background merged very nicely with the financial background. And I think the people were blessed because they got the best of both worlds. So mm-hmm. I appreciate you, your humility, your delivery. And I'm just looking forward to having fun. And I just want to say one thing before I'm going to go over long-term care and just how to protect your assets once you grow them, because there's something that can hurt us if we don't understand how long-term care works and the Deficit Reduction Act and the government spend down provision. I think that's really important that people understand that, but I throw it back into your capable hands before I go over that and wrap us up tonight.
All right, sounds good. And let me get there. I'm gonna talk a little bit about taxes and let me know if you can see, can you see the financial literacy?
Yes, sir.
All right. And again, thank you, Bishop Dixon, for allowing us to come to this great audience of yours. Just a couple things we want to share with you. And one key thing you should already know is that your tax returns has a due date has been extended and is now due on by Monday, You need to file by Monday, May the 17th. If you owe taxes, your taxes must be paid by May the 17th. Even if you need additional time after May 17th, you can file a form 4868, and that will give you extended time up to Friday, October 15th, 2021. Okay. Another thing is when you're doing your tax returns, I suggest that you use direct deposit. For close to 90% of people who are filing are using direct deposit. And what it does is when you file electronically, and then if you were to get a refund, I suggest that you have it direct deposited into your account. That will speed up the refund as opposed to the government sending you a paper check. And it's safe, it's simple, and it's secure. It's being done through the IRS. So I suggest that you choose to use direct deposit. Let me talk to you a little bit about unemployment compensation. Those of you, many people who have lost their jobs and then you were able to receive unemployment compensation, there was a slight change for this year. The first $10,200 of compensation, unemployment compensation that you receive will be exempt. It will be exempt from gross income tax.
Amen.
When I say gross income tax, I mean the AGI or the adjusted gross income if it is under $150,000. And then the economic stimulus payments, many of you probably received $1,400 just recently. That is not subject to income tax. Another thing, if in 2020, you were entitled to a stimulus check, but you didn't receive it. On your 2020 tax return, you can get a credit for the amount that you should have received. So if you should have received $1,200 or whatever the dollar amount was, you didn't receive it for whatever reason, if you were eligible, you can claim it as a credit on your tax return. Now, very briefly share with you that many times a credit is better than a tax deduction. A tax deduction, when you deduct it, what you're doing is you're saying, take my adjusted gross income, let's say your W-2 income, and then let's say you itemize. You have a deduction for whatever, taxes and interest and all these other things. Contribution. Okay, that's going to reduce your AGI. And then you're going to have an amount that's called taxable income. That amount is going to be taxed. But if you have a credit, once the tax is computed, the credit then reduces your tax. So on your tax return for 2020, you can take a credit, which will reduce the amount of tax that you would pay to the government.
That's good. That's good information. I hope people understand that. That means if you owe $3,000 and you have a credit of 12, then you only owe another
$1,800.
Not $3,000. So that's really good information.
Yes. There's a thing called, and this is for something called earned income tax credit, talking about credits. And this is for, you must be a qualified worker and it's for people who have children. And again, this is a credit which reduces your taxes. And also it can be a refund. So a credit reduces the tax that you owe. And if you get down to zero, that's it on certain credits. But with the earned income tax credit, if it goes, for instance, let's say you owe a tax of $1,000, but your earned income tax credit is $1,200. It's based upon you having a job, you're working, and the children that you have. If you have it, you're entitled to a credit of $1,200, you will get a refund of $200.
Nice.
So So again, take advantage of that if you are eligible. Then there's the child tax credit. And this has, there's been an increase from $2,000 to $3,600 per child under the age of six. And it's $3,000 for every, for other children under the age of 18. And then what the government is doing is in this year, it's going to continue the credit, but it's going to give you advanced payments. So starting in July 1st, there's going to be a computation that's going to be done by the government that will give you the credit as up front, as opposed to you having to do it on your tax return. Hmm. So again, look out for that. And that should begin in July the 1st of, it says here, 20, typo there, but again, it'll start 2021 of this year. Okay. Another thing that is near and dear to our Elder Kenneth Bryant heart is if you have the wherewithal, contribute to your retirement and savings account. You can apply $6,000, $7,000 if you're 50 or older, to your traditional or Roth IRA by the due date of May 17, 2021. And I'm using that. I'm going to ask our Elder Bryant if he could take us further and give us some clarity on it.
So what's really important is that you want to get as much money into your IRAs as humanly possible. I actually love the Roth IRA. I think everybody who does not make too much money to contribute to that Roth IRA, you should be fighting to get money in there like air, because that money is going to come out tax-free. Well, I think we went over that in session two in detail, but if you can't do anything but put $25 a month into that Roth IRA, put money into that Roth IRA, because I mean, right now the government is in debt, and who knows if they're going to change the laws on that? Who knows? We see them changing laws right now. Biden, I think, is going to have his economic plan tonight on TV. They're changing plans. They changed the capital gains tax. Okay, they're changing different things. So one day, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you have $1 million in your retirement plan, and you take 6% of that $1 million every year to live off of. If you take six, that would be $60,000 a year. If you have to pay taxes on that money, like you will in a tax deferred plan, you're going to give the government anywhere from 20 to 30% of taxes. So 20% of $60,000 is what, $12,000 in taxes? Mm. But if you have a Roth IRA and you take that 6% off of that, most we recommend it no more than 6%. Between somewhere between 4% and 6% distribution, then that $60,000 is going to be federal income tax free. That's going to make a big difference in your career. I mean, and I like to ask people, how much better could you live if every single time you got your paycheck, there were no taxes taken out? And this is what the Roth IRA is going to give you an opportunity to do. So please take advantage of putting money in there if you have the ability to. I know a lot of people are struggling right now. If you have the ability to, we strongly suggest that you do, because it's going to make a gigantic difference in what you are able to communicate. And just bear with me. I'm just going to bring up a presentation here.
And while you're doing that, let me also mention, Elder, that one of the things we talked about before, getting started sooner versus later is always in your best interest. Putting money aside now, particularly if you're young, getting in the habit of doing, having the automatic withdrawals taking place, that will allow you to that will allow you to build up, and you can take more risks. You can have something that will benefit you further on down the road. There's going to be ebbs and flows, but you can weigh those things, you can roller coaster those things out, particularly if you are younger. Older folks like old heads like me, Bishop Dixon, I can't take as many risks as Sister Juliana can or Bishop Dixon. So I have to be a little bit more careful. But again, it will be to your advantage for you to start sooner than later.
That is a fact of the matter. And I think that's really important that we understand that. And where are we? Hold on a second.
One other thing, Elder. Because of the pandemic, people were tight with money. Many people went and they stopped making retirement 401k withdrawal contribution mm-hmm. because of cash flow or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I highly suggest to you, once you get back on your feet, to continue doing it. Because a lot of times, out of sight, out of mind, and you can forget about it. Right. You get used to the money. But I suggest that you revisit and set yourself up again.
That is such a wonderful point, because remember, and we went over all of this, so I strongly suggest you go back and look at those other sessions that we had, because those sessions, really, we went into detail about that. But really, if your employer is willing to match you up to 6% and you don't take advantage of that, then you're giving away free money.
Yes.
Okay. If your employer is going to match you, every time you put a dollar in, they're going to put a dollar in. That's free money. So when we don't do that, that hurts us.
Yeah.
They get tax breaks for offering that. Your employer gets tax breaks for offering that. And so it behooves us. It is in our best interest, because you're accumulating twice as fast, because you're getting twice as much,
mm-hmm.
okay? So we wanted to really sit down, put together a budget. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to Pastor Hardy. We are here to help, okay? Your situation, I guarantee you that no matter how bad you think it is, I've seen worse. And I'm sure Pastor Hardy has too. We are here to help. We are here to not judge. We've all made mistakes.
Amen.
We all have made mistakes. I have made mistakes, but I don't like pain. I don't like pain. So after I made those mistakes, I started seeking out financial knowledge. And one of the areas that I see in my practice is a lot of people make the mistake of not purchasing long-term care insurance. So I want to go over that, because a lot of people don't really understand it. And it can be detrimental to your financial health if you don't have it, okay? And God forbid something happens. So let's dig deep. Can everybody see that? Is that on there? Can I see? Does everybody see long-term care right now?
It says the game plan.
No, you should not see the game plan right now. Hold on a second. In the meantime, Pastor Carl put a question in the chat. How do you start a Roth IRA? And you can start a Roth IRA. You can contact me and I will be happy to start a Roth IRA for you. I start them up for as little as $25 a month. So you do not have to have a lot of money. And you can grow to the point that you can put, you know, thousands of dollars in there. I have had clients that have come to me starting accounts with $25 a month. And now they have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in their accounts just from starting accounts with just $25 a month. Okay, so help me out. Does everybody see long-term care now?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful.
Yes.
So let's go over what exactly long-term care is. So the first thing that I want to share is that most people are going to need long-term care. Almost 70% of people that are turning age 65 are going to need it. So if you live to be 65, then you're going to need it more than likely, okay? Because if you live to be 65, there's a very good chance that you're going to live to be 85, okay? Now, that comes from long-term care, longtermcare.gov. Now, long-term care is not just for old people. It is not just for elderly people. If people have car accidents. I was hit in the back on Christmas Eve, smacked in the back. By God's grace, I yelled out. I thought I was going to heaven. But thank God, I'm still here. But listen, car accidents, brain tumors, strokes, okay? And these items, okay, can cause you to need long-term care. Now, Medicare doesn't cover it. Private health care plans don't cover it. And so you could get stuck with the bill if you have a problem with long-term care. Now, the existing safety net for older Americans is a mixture of Social Security, it's a mixture of Medicare and Medicaid, okay? But that was built for a different generation. Now, while Medicare will cover short stays, Medicaid typically fills in the difference when you have an extended stay, okay? But that's only after, if you look here, it's only after you have depleted your financial accounts. Medicaid steps in after you spend all your money down and you only have $2,000 left, okay? So what exactly constitutes Medicaid? Long-term care. There are six activities of daily living: eating, dressing, bathing, transferring, continence, and mental cognitive impairment. When you have problems with two of these six, the government says you qualify for that qualifies as a long-term care event. Now, here's the challenge. If you have money and you have this one of these long-term care events, the government is going to say you have to spend your own money down on your own care until you have $2,000 or less. So let's say you got a nest egg of $500,000. And on the East Coast, if you need care in a nursing home facility, that's like upwards to $60,000, $70,000 a year. So you can wipe out your nest egg just like that. Now, if you purchase a long-term care policy and you have that long-term care event, the government says, thanks, Pastor Hardy. Thanks, Pastor Juliana. Thanks, Bishop Dixon, for purchasing long-term care. So what we're going to do is we're going to let you use your long-term care benefits. And then after you use your long-term care benefits, the government is going to let you keep your cash. Did you hear me? Keep your cash. And they're still going to let you apply for Medicaid. So you can have your money and still take advantage of Medicaid, all right? And that is really, really important, okay? It's exceptionally important. Okay, so because most people don't have enough money to spend. Now, if you don't have to spend on your own care, now, if you do not have a lot of money, then I'm not talking to you. If you don't have $2,000, I'm not talking to you. But if you have, because you're going to go on Medicaid anyway, but if you have a substantial amount of assets, and substantial means different to different people, But let's say you got $50,000, you should be looking at protecting those assets. You got $100,000, you should be looking at protecting those assets. And you can't just transfer the money. So once again, here are your activities of daily living. If you have a problem with two of these, okay, this will constitute a long-term care issue, okay? Now, this is how you qualify for benefits. Now, think about this. Should you purchase it? Yeah. You know why? Because it's going to help you preserve your independence, okay? Number two, it's going to protect your assets. That is the gigantic thing that I'm talking about right now. Because if you grow your assets and then you don't have long-term care and then you have a stroke, the government is going to say, okay, brother or sister so-and-so, you got $500,000 in your account. We're not going to cover it. You spend your own money down. That's called the Deficit Reduction Act and the government spend down provision. You have to spend your own money down. And if you transfer money to your children to try to qualify, number one, it's not integral, it's not godly, because it's against the law. But also, the government is going to look back 5 years to see if you transferred assets so you could qualify for Medicaid. And if they can't get it back from you, then they'll get it back from your estate. So it's critically important that if you have seniors, if you are a senior out there and you have money, you want to get that 5-year clock ticking as soon as possible, okay? You want to get those assets out of your name, into your children's name, and, you know, and holding God, and we pray that you won't have a long-term care event, never, but at least if you do, at least it'll be longer than 5 years. It also, though, will protect your family. See, you and your family will have some peace of mind knowing that you will have high quality care. I bought, me and Sister Wincy, I bought our long-term care when we were in our early 40s. So the price was not that bad. And what happens is that many of them have, many of them have what's called, let me go back to here, have what's called an increasing inflation fighter. Yeah, inflation. Thank you, Pastor. An inflation fighter attached to it. So every year, let's say you buy $100,000 worth of long-term care benefits. Every year, if you buy 3%, they come with 3% inflation protection in Jersey, but you can pick as much as 5% inflation protection. And when you do that, that every year, your benefit pool goes up by 3% or 5%. So every year, if you bought $100,000 worth of long-term care protection, the next year, you would have $103,000 worth. And your premium stays the same. Okay, that's inflation protection. And that is critically important about generating, after you generate your nest egg, we want you to have your money. We don't want you to have to give your money back to the government because you had a long-term care event. So this is a critical part of maintaining what you have grown. And I've seen it so many times, okay, where people don't purchase this critical part. It is a critical part of financial planning if you have assets. Now, a couple of key points. Your primary residence is typically not included. But if you have secondary, third homes, second homes, things of that nature, that will be included in the calculation. But your primary residence will not be included in the calculation. And I'm going to just stop right there for a second, just to, number one, take a breather. That's a lot of information. But also to stress, we have gone over a lot of things in this these 4 weeks. This has been a lot of fun, but knowledge is not power. We've given a lot of knowledge out, but knowledge is not power. You have to implement the knowledge in order for it to impact your life. We talked about purchasing life insurance. If you don't purchase life insurance, outside of being on top of being outside the will of God, because 1 Peter 5:8 says that if you don't provide for your own, and especially those of your household, you've denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever, you run the risk of leaving your family in trouble. We talked about investing, not being afraid of investing, okay? What the market has done over the long term. We've talked about that. But you have to start doing it in order for it to impact your life. The market is on an incredible bull market right now. But many people are missing that opportunity because of fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, okay? He's given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And one of the things I say is that the enemy, he's only got three weapons. And I want to share this with you because this is really important. And if we understand, he's got three big weapons. He's got fear to keep you from starting something that God has told you to do. He's got doubt to make you give up or stop quickly. And he's got distractions to keep you from staying on the path. Please do what Pastor Hardy and I have told you to do. Take baby steps. I will put together a free financial plan for you that is $1,000 value, absolutely free. Pastor Hardy will make himself available to help with tax tips and different things that you can do. We want to help you. We want to help you. This is not about us. It's about you. It's about the body of Christ. Why? Because the enemy attacks us. Why? Because if we don't have any money, we can't do any ministry. That is the bottom line. If we don't have resources, we can't do any ministry. So we want us to grow wealth so the next generation coming behind us will have the resources. And even the pastors now and the people now have the resources to do ministry. And I'm stopping there. This has been a ton of fun. Maybe there's some questions out there. Pastor Hardy, you can add any thoughts that you may have. And I had a great time and I'm so excited.
I think a key thing in all of this, Elder Bryant and Bishop Dixon, is that we want all of us to be ever learning. Just from a spiritual perspective, we should be always studying the word, learning more about Jesus Christ and how we can be a better person as a Christian, how we can help other people. Same thing with our finances. We encourage you to learn things for yourself, to go and understand different terms, understand different concepts. So in past sessions, we talked about going, just reading certain things, taking a few minutes and reading, going to podcasts and listening to different financial advice, financial information. Many of you may not have heard some of the things that's been talked about in terms of long-term care. So things that are new to you, try not to be afraid of it. Take, as a coin of phrase from Mr. Ramsey, take baby steps. Yes. But let's move forward so that we can grow and be in a place that we need to be in. Talk to us, Elder, back to the long-term care. How does it work? When a person gets a policy, and in terms of premiums, what ballpark? Because I'm going to assume, just like life insurance, the earlier you start, the lower the premiums are.
That is absolutely correct. And so I'm trying to, I think, just to give you a ballpark, I think I was 42 when I bought mine. When I bought mine for me and Wincy, my policy, I purchased back then $108,000 worth of coverage. on me and $108,000. Because what happens is you have a pool of money. So the way it works, you purchase a pool of money, and that you pick, you purchase an elimination, you pick an elimination period. So you pick a pool of money, how much assets you want to protect. You pick an elimination period. The elimination period is how many days you would go before you start to collect those collect that payment to support your lifestyle. That typically goes from anywhere from 90 days to 180 days is the elimination period while you wait in order to before you start collecting your benefits. And then you pick a term that you want to receive benefits. Most long-term care events are somewhere between 3 to 4 years, okay? That's the average time period that a person will receive long-term care benefits. So 3 to 4 years, so you pick that. Typically, the longer you receive benefits or the longer period you pick to receive benefits, the more it will cost as well. So mine, when I bought it, I bought $108,000 on myself, $108,000 on my wife. And my premium is $614 a year. And Wincy's is $612 a year. So if you are in your 40s and you are in pretty good shape, by God's grace, I'm in pretty good health. My wife is in pretty good health. So we both qualify for preferred rates. But the point is, if you're playing Russian roulette, if you don't get it, if you're a car accident away from, you know, having a government, having to give your money back to the government, you are a stroke away, you are any kind of thing that could happen, could wipe out your nest egg, which not only impacts you, but it also impacts your legacy, because now the inheritance that you wanted to leave, now you can't leave that because now it's gone. So you might want to start, you know, that's what I said, start looking at, have a meeting with your responsible children, emphasis on responsible. Okay. If they're not responsible, then but have a meeting with your responsible children, start looking into this, start, you know, maybe give, you know, pushing that inheritance out now, or start a trust, or establish an estate, or there's so many things that you can do to protect your assets. But just one thing about trusts, and that's that would have been a great topic for us to go over. We didn't think about that, but trusts have to pay taxes. So sometimes a testamentary trust is a good place to start, because that doesn't kick in until the trustee passes away, which saves the money on the taxes of setting up a trust right then and there. So that will save you some money as well. Did that sort of answer your question, Pastor Hardy?
Yes, yes. There was a study that was done that says the average person, after they retire, should consider paying close to $250,000 of medical-related costs.
That's good.
A couple.
That's good.
So, for instance, let's do this, Elder. So, if somebody's at the age of 70, and they decide to retire. Now, I'm saying the age of 70 because of Social Security. So, if there are three periods where the Social Security income that you receive is triggered, age of 62, age of 66, and the age of 70. If you retire at the age of 62, and I forget what the percentages are, you may get, so I'm gonna be hypothetical, you may receive what you're entitled to, let's say 80% of what you may be entitled to, based upon your cumulative earnings, and they look at your last set of earnings. At the age of 66, you may receive 90% of your earnings. At the age of 70, you receive the higher amount. And the planning comes in, which you should sit down with Elder Kenny and looking at is how do I maximize this? So if you're in good health, many times, and again, each scenario is different. I'm giving you a broad, talking in general. Don't use this as an, because your situation may be totally different than what I'm saying, but I'm just using this as an explanation. So let's say you're in good health and you decide that you're going to work until you're at the age of 70. Let's say you're married. If and when you pass away, your spouse gets your Social Security if you are the higher earner. So if I retire at the age of 62, my spouse gets what I'm earning at 62. If I pass at the age of 66, it's 90% or 10% more. But if it's at the age of 70, my wife, Dr. Cheryl, will get a higher amount of my spousal benefit. Okay, that being said, we sit down and we talk with Elder Kenneth Bryant and we project how much will it cost for me to live once I retire. And in doing that, I need to factor in, let's say at the age of 70, I expect to live to the age of 85, just to be conservative. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's 15 years. I'm not making an income, I'm not making a salary, but I have my Social Security. And then the question, Elder Bryant, would be, when should I start taking my withdrawals from my 401k and all those other things? How much of it should I take? Okay, but now if I take in consideration my healthcare, because again, I need to take in consideration my living expenses, my transportation expenses, and hopefully it's going to go down. It won't be the same as when you're working, but what's going to most likely happen is your medical expenses are going to go up. And you have to factor that in your plan. So what you want to do, remember I said before, you don't want to outlive your money. So you're making plans so that you don't have to lose anything and you end up working at McDonald's at the age of 72. Now, if you want to do that, that's all well and good. But we want to keep it so that you can go and do things that you want to do the way you want to do. You can go on that cruise. You can afford to do other things that's going to benefit you.
Those are great points. And I just think what we recommend typically in the industry is a withdrawal or a distribution rate of 4 to 6%.
Okay.
No more than 6% of your assets.
Okay.
Like I said, if you have $1 million in the bank, then you're talking about, you know, $60,000. That would be that's the maximum that I would recommend taking. Some years, if the market is up and you still have, because what happens is this, you still have money invested. You just have a smaller percentage of money invested. So for example, somebody that is younger may be in an aggressive portfolio. That would be 100% in stocks. Let's say they're 20s, they're in their 20s. Then the 30s, then they might be at 85% stocks, 15% bonds. Then in their, forties, they may be 65% stocks, 35% bonds. In their 50s, maybe 50-50. And then maybe when in their 60s, when they're close to retirement, they may be 35% stocks, 65-70% in bonds. Why? Because when you're older, you're not so much interested in growing as you are as in preserving what you have already grown, okay? Right. So we take the risk when we are young, and we don't want to take much risk with our money when we are older because of what we call in the industry a danger zone, okay? That danger zone is 3 years before you retire or 3 years after you retire. That 6-year period could be detrimental. If you have let's say you got, I don't know, $100,000 and the market goes down, is down for 2 years before you retire, that's going to bring your nest egg down substantially. And now you either going to have two options. Either you work a little longer, okay, or you retire on less. Okay. So that danger zone is 3 years before retirement, 3 years after retirement. Same thing after, because if you start taking distributions and then that money go, the market goes down, your assets go down, then once again, that's going to impact how much you can take. So what retirement is, a three-legged stool. Number one is Social Security. Number two are pensions, if you are blessed enough to get one. Nowadays, companies are eliminating them, so a lot of people don't have them. And last is your personal savings. So what do? We put a plan together of what you're going to need. We put a plan, like Pastor Hardy stated, of when you should begin taking your Social Security. Do you have a pension? What are your expenses? Okay. Do because really, I try to hold off with my clients from taking the money, okay, as long as humanly possible. Can you work a part-time job, especially if they're in good health? Because like I said, if you live to be 65, there's a good chance you're going to live to be 85. That's 20 years in retirement that you're going to need your money to last. And you know what? It ain't going to last sitting in the bank. It won't. It just won't do it sitting in the bank. So you're going to have to keep it invested, or at least a portion of it, so you can keep your money ahead of inflation. So the answer to that question is different for every person, okay? We have to look, I'm looking at, do they have a pension? I'm looking at how much money do they have? I'm looking at, is the mortgage paid off?
Yeah.
Okay, if the mortgage is paid off, that is gonna drastically reduce how much income you need in retirement. And I'll throw something else out too. A lot of seniors, they like rush and they dry up or use up all of their liquid capital trying to pay their house off.
Mm.
And I'm saying, if you're late in the game, okay, and you need capital, you need income, maybe you don't try to accelerate your mortgage. As a matter of fact, maybe you refinance to a 30-year. And that will bring your payment down substantially. And then you live out the rest of your years, and then your children can sell the house and they can do what they need to do. And that'll give you some more liquid capital, okay, to live off of. If you do a refinance and that saves you $500, $600 a month on your mortgage, then that puts $500, $600 a month in your pocket to live off of, okay? And but I really want to stress that you got to stay out of debt. When you enter retirement, if you stay, you gotta have your debt down. If you have your debt down, then you're gonna be okay. When you got Social Security and you got a couple $100,000 and you live within your means, it ain't gonna be golden living, but it'll be okay. You have your head above water, and that's what we want to make sure everybody has.
I do have a question. For the long-term care insurance, is there a health check? Is there a physical that has to take
place? Good question. Absolutely, yes. Okay. So they will do a physical on you. They're going to look at your prescription history. But you know what? Nothing beats a failure but a try. And I say, if you're out there, try. Especially if you have money, try. Okay. Try. It's worth it. Try. I've seen people that I thought might not get approved, and they end up getting approved. Okay. So, and it's important that you do it now. Since I have been selling long-term care insurance, I have seen rates go up, what? Three times. Why? Because people are living longer. And what happens is that the long-term care companies, they didn't price the product right. I mean, think about it. From diagnosis to death, a person that's diagnosed with dementia, they're going to live 7 years. that from diagnosis to death, that's 7 years. So that's 7 years of long-term care payments being paid out. Okay. Okay. So even though the person is, you know, they don't have it up here, but the body, the physical body is working right. So if you have assets, once again, this is only if you have assets. If you don't have assets, then Medicaid is going to take care of you. And this part of the presentation is not for you. But if you have assets, then you have to start looking at long-term care, or you better get that money out of your name.
Good.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, somebody asked, at what age should a senior start spending down their income and or assets so they qualify for, I think it was Medicaid. Also, what age should you give to your responsible children your assets or income, I think they said.
I think that you have to look at 5 years where you want to get that clock ticking, that 5 year clock ticking. So depending, there's a couple of variables. Everybody's health is different. If you're sickly and you're 50 some years old, then you need to get those assets out your name. If you are in great shape and you're 68, then maybe you got a little bit more time. Okay. So it all depends on how healthy you are. It all depends on how much money you have. It all depends on how responsible your children are and how integral they are. So there's a lot of things to consider.
Somebody asked about the reverse mortgage program. Is that a good option for seniors?
So Pastor Hardy, you want to comment on that first?
I have a CPA answer for that.
Okay.
And it depends. And I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot in reference to it. I hear different stories, different ways. So I'm going to defer to you, Elder.
Okay. So first, let me explain what a reverse mortgage is.
Okay. Right.
A reverse mortgage is simply a loan where you are using up the equity in your house. Okay. So let's say you have a house and the house is worth $400,000 and you owe $100,000 left on the house. That means you have $300,000 in equity. So if you do a reverse mortgage, the bank is loaning you the money and you are basically living out your equity. Okay. And if you live out all of your equity, then at the end and you pass away and there's no more equity, then the bank is going to require all that money of your children or your heirs. So a reverse mortgage, it depends. Okay. Yes. How much equity do you have? How healthy are you? Okay. Some people, it's a great idea. It worked out for my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. It worked out great for them. They were able to stay in their home and live out the equity. And then when they passed on, the heirs or the siblings came together, they sold the house and everything worked out fine. Okay. But I've also heard horror stories. Okay. So it's really important that you understand, and this is not what I'm giving you now is not enough information for you to make a decision. Let me be upfront and say, what I'm telling you now is nowhere near. There's planning. There's you need to look at a lot of different variables. Once again, how healthy you are, how much equity you have in your home. Okay. What's going to happen if you live out all your equity? Will the house go back to the bank? Is that okay with the children? Are there better options? Would you be better off selling the house yourself and maybe moving in with one of your children, putting a wing on one of your children's houses so they could be close to you and help assist you? There's a lot of different variables to think about. Okay. If you just want your independence, that could be a good way to go if you have the equity and, you know, things of that nature. But there's a lot of variables to go. So I hope that's good. I know that's vague, but one of the things that I have to be really careful of, that I don't give somebody something that they think that they have enough information to go and make a decision, and then they make a wrong decision. Because
I would suggest, well, two things. One, if I'm not mistaken, Elder, if you have a reverse mortgage, you still are subject to the taxes, the property taxes of the township. So again, that's going to have to come out of your pocket. In general, I would suggest sitting down with someone who is extremely knowledgeable and independent. Again, who is not looking to sell you something, but to educate you. So that you can make a good decision in all of these things. Let's make good decisions. And I know it's hard when somebody is talking to us about something that we may not have the background to fully understand. And that's where the reading comes in at. Just do some casual reading and getting an understanding of what takes place. And let me talk in general again. Let's be careful, because there's also wolves and sheep clothing that's out there that look to take advantage of it. Let me put a plug in. This Friday night, we're at Deliverance Jesus is Coming in Irvington. We're doing a financial literacy session again. And the emphasis is going to be on care for our seniors. Yeah. And we want to educate our seniors and the caretakers on things to be mindful of, so that, you know, they not duped. One of the biggest problems that take place with many of our seniors is identity theft, where people, because I just take advantage of them. And we want to nip that in the bud. We want us to be prepared. So again, we're doing this at 7:30 p.m. this Friday night at the Deliverance Jesus is Coming Facebook Live and in our Zoom. Like with our, those of you that are familiar with us, you can go to our website, www.djicc.org, to get further information. But again, we just want to help you to get educated so that you don't make a mistake. That's something that you might have heard that said, I heard Elder Kenny Bryant say something. Let me go and explore this a little deeper.
The Bible says the hand of the diligent make it rich. And a lot of times, you know, we don't want to do things because they seem hard.
Yeah.
But how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. There's a sub shop I love in North Jersey. And they make these gigantic subs, and I love to go up there. And you know what? No matter how big they make them, I eat them one bite at a time. And if I can't eat the whole thing right there in that one setting, I'll eat half and I'll wrap the other half up until later. And with the information, you can chew on it. One of the ways I got knowledgeable in investing is I started doing 15 minutes a day. Just 15 minutes a day reading, like Pastor Hardy said, watching past podcasts, watching videos, learning, just little 15 minutes a day. And I was able to accumulate a lot of information about investing and about finances in general. And you can do the same thing. Just take human-sized bites, internalize that information, and then take another bite. One step at a time.
I am. My wife, I just asked her to unmute. We were so blessed by these workshops. And let me tell you, I am the first one in line to make an appointment, because we need to. I'm at an age, my wife, she's still young, you know, but I'm a little bit crossing over a little bit, but I need to, we got to get things lined up. We got to get things.
Yes.
We need some help. And so I am telling everyone out there, please, Elder Kenny Bryant and Pastor Addison Hardy, the information is right on your screen. Pastor Addison Hardy's email address, ahardy@cpa.com. kennybryant@gmail.com. Elder Kenny Bryant, kennybryant48@gmail.com. Phone number is 973-464-6373. For those who are not looking at this in the visual form, but you're looking at it, listening to it through the Shield of Faith Broadcasting Network. And so this information is up so you can get this and contact them. Listen, I need help. You need help. We need help. And only way we're going to do that is that we got to go to the professionals. Am I right, Pastor Angie?
Amen. Yes, yes. And I want to say, I had a quick question. Again, first of all, I totally enjoyed it. I was silent because I was taking so many notes here. So, you know, I thank you. And as you all said, you have to go back and read it and take one bite at a time to understand and digest it and to learn about it. And so I appreciate it. And Elder Kenny, you had mentioned with retirement is something to look 3 years before retirement and 3 years after retirement. And that retirement is like a three-legged stool or something like that. You mentioned you have your Social Security, the pension, and the personal savings. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that just briefly a little bit again? Like you.
Yes. So the 3 years before you retire and the 3 years after you retire, we refer to in the industry as the danger zone, because if you take any losses, then you have to wait for the market to build back up. And that could significantly reduce the amount of money that you have an opportunity to retire on. I'll use $100,000 as an example. If you have $100,000 and you want to take 6% of that, then that would lead you, you know, that would give you about $6,000 a year in income. But if that $100,000 goes through a bear market and that money decreases down to $70,000 on paper, now you won't be able to take $6,000 a year. You'll be taking 6% of $70,000, which will be substantially lower. So that three-year period before you retire, that three-year period right after you retire, we definitely want to make sure that we do everything to protect you from down markets. And there are a lot of products that you can do that with. There are Shield products that will absorb up to 25% of downside of losses. These vehicles have no fees. You have to have at least $25,000 to get in them, but they have no fees and they will offer you downside protection if the market goes down. So many of my seniors are going into these programs because you still get to invest in the S&P 500, but you have up to 25% protection, meaning that the investment company will absorb up to 25% of losses, God forbid you have them, and there's no fees. So these are the type of programs that are available to people, okay, to help protect them from those losses during the danger zone. The second thing I talked about was how income is derived. Okay, that's the three-legged stool. So typically for the average American, at least the average American that has a pension, and that is dwindling down more and more so. Number one is Social Security. That's one source of income. Number two, pensions, if you're blessed enough to have them, that's another source of income. And then number three is the income derived from your personal savings, okay? So what we do is we sit down and we put together a plan to make sure that those particular sources of income will meet your expenses. And if they do not, then we start looking at other sources of income, a part-time job, you know, a small business or a side business or something like that, okay? Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Yes. Thank you so much. Like I said, I just got to go over and study this, but very informative and excellent. And I like the last thing, mint.com. I could go there and look up some things too. But thank you both for being such a resource, you know, for us. And I've learned a lot, and I'm sure people on Facebook has.
Amen. Let me add a couple other resources. One is called Nerd Wallet, NERDWALLET.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then another one is called Motley Fool, MOTLEYFOOL.com.
Motley Fool. Okay.
Yes. There might be an S in there, but if you go to Google, it'll come up for you. But the point is they provide you with information. Another good source, I advise people who are reluctant to go to someone like Kenny Bryant or to step out into the waters, is if you have a 401k plan, it is being administered by some company. So if it's being administered by Charles Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, or whoever else, they also have classes, they have tools, they even have advisors who will, and you're paying for it, who can help you out if you're uncomfortable. I would suggest, my first suggestion is you go to, I don't know, Elder Bryant, if you ever heard of a CPA attorney by the name of Lou Hutt, but he's on Sirius XM.
Okay.
The Urban channel. And he comes on every Saturday. And I like it, one, because he's a CPA and he's an accountant. And an attorney. But he also emphasized, everyone, get a coach. Right. Have a coach to help you out, to take you through these things. You know, when you're doing your tax returns, you're not just putting numbers down on a piece of paper, you know, whether you're using a TurboTax or some other document apparatus, but somebody who's going to look the things over to say, oh, there's an opportunity. Let's explore these things. So that's why I encourage you to kind of look at that. In terms of NERD, it's NERD. The U is an E. There you go.
Beautiful.
Usually I'm Bishop's proofreader, so I'm not over this.
We all need one of those.
We're helping each other.
We all need one of those.
Yes.
Listen, before we hang up, Pastor Giuliani, Pastor is coming in Newark, New Jersey. God bless you. Do you have any questions or anything, comments you would like to add before we hang up?
Blessings, everyone. Actually, there were a few people that asked questions that I had, so they were answered, and I'm thankful for that. And Elder Kenny, we'll be reaching out to you. We had called, but we'll be reaching out to you, sir, again.
Amen. Amen.
Blessings.
Well, thank all of you for being a part of this workshop, this financial literacy workshop. Thank you, Elder Kenny Bryant, Pastor Addison Hardy. Thank you, Pastor Angie, for joining in. Pastor Giuliana, we're so blessed to have you with us. And all those on Facebook, I see you on here. I didn't see any questions. I've been looking for questions on Facebook, but thank you so much. Those are on the Shield of Faith Broadcasting Network, the network that cares, thank you for joining in with us also. I pray that it will be a blessing. And again, please, I'll post it again. Please contact Pastor Addison Hardy. Address is ahardy.cpa@gmail.com. Elder Kenny Bryant's contact information is Kenny, KennyBryant48 @gmail.com. Phone number is 973-464-6373. And again, as we're closing this workshop for this month of April 2021, you can always go back to the video and watch it again, listen to it, go back and forth and get all the information, but please reach out to these professionals who have helped me in my life already. And I already got an appointment. I didn't get my appointment yet, but I'm set up to get my appointment real soon so I can get my stuff together. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you all, audience, for being with us. Until we meet again, may God continue to bless you
Amen.
Heaven shine upon you, and may God just open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. 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 God bless all of you in Jesus' name.
God bless you.
Blessings to all.
Thank you.